Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, even for today. We thank you for your grace, Lord. Thank you for your love. And we commit, Lord, this hour to you now. Break down the word of life to us, and for those who are not here today, those who might be afflicted, oh Lord, or having a flu because of the weather, Lord, being so humid, and people are coughing as well, and spreading all this. Well, we ask for your blessing upon them and just strengthen their body, Lord, even as you will strengthen each and every one of us here physically. And most importantly, oh Lord, the spiritual strength is what we need, Father, in this hour. And our spirit, oh Lord, will always be in tune with the Spirit of God, walking in the light of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who has given us eternal life. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your precious word. Now we ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, may be seated. We'll go where we left off last week. Then we are dealing with Revelation, and as to whose revelation we are talking about. It's not your revelation, it's not my revelation, it's not what men's revelation. As far as we're all concerned, it's all that which comes from God is God's revelation. If it is God's revelation, if it's God revealed to you, then it has to show consistency in the Word of God. If there's no consistency in the Word of God, then something is wrong somewhere. We have gone out of our track, alright, or that some place we have taken the wrong turn, or because of a certain word that we do not understand, and therefore we give it a wrong interpretation, and therefore we cannot really see the truth. So, if it's true, then it must show consistency in the Bible. So now, as we said the last week, we end up with us concerning the offering of Abel and Cain. And it's a good example. And we also see also concerning what some denomination woman preacher, because they wanted to preach, they wanted to be preacher, and even organization, they ordained woman preacher, so they believe that woman can preach. And they got out of context from the book of Acts 1:8 as well as Matthew 28:19, as you know, the commission that was given. And we already established that the Bible gives this commission only to the 11. And the commission, as far as even the song that we sing, sometimes we sing it just because we want to sing it. I'm a tool for the task of, of the Master's Great Commission, yes. So we sing that because, actually whoever wrote it might have been a preacher himself, and so he wrote that song, so everybody gets people to sing it, so we're going to sing it. Alright? But it is not that every one of us as Christians are to fulfill the Great Commission. That's not for that to be true is not scriptural. Alright? As I said, the Great Commission is only issued to the apostles in those 11. So now we come to another point here we want to look at, which is very common here now because we are dealing with this end time message. We're dealing with what we already have. And denomination cannot see it, as we know. And we talk about the two trees in the garden, as we said last week. What are those two trees? And of course we know that the denomination, they are actually literal trees, natural trees that could bear fruits, that grows from the ground. And we know that it's not true, but for those who are in this end time message and the extremists, which of course, whom the denomination called them Branhamites, because they are taking the words of Brother Branham at face value without an understanding of the scripture. So they would say that, well, Brother Branham said that the tree of life was Christ, and the tree of knowledge and good and evil, of course, was the wicked one. And by taking those statements like this, not that Brother Branham said that they are, only that it was a typology, but because the way they said it, because the way Brother Branham said it, they have no understanding, they take this statement and they give an interpretation that they were actually literally Jesus Christ in the Garden of Eden, and the wicked one was in the Garden of Eden, and which of course we know by spirit they are, but by revelation, how do you interpret the two trees? Since it says the two trees were in the midst of the garden, you have to say that they must be standing in one particular spot. You know, and the other thing, of course, also when it comes to the place where, at one place where Prabhupada said about the serpent. Okay, and we know that the serpent is also a tree, because you are a tree and I'm also a tree. Is that right? So, Prabhupada also did this kind of trying to get people to understand. And so, if people take the serpent as a tree, and if I took of the tree of knowledge and good and evil, which was the serpent. And we know that it was fornication. So if it is fornication, then that he partook with the serpent, and then the Bible said that he gave also of the fruit to Adam. So what do you make out of that then? That means to say that that's why I have some denomination. You know, there was a couple of years ago, people have few denominations, some denominations have written me, but in the early time, back in 1980s, that was when the Presbyterian Bible School in Singapore in Newton, somebody wrote a thesis, because he was a Bible student, and he was supposed to write a thesis, you know, what some you know, you go to Bible school, you still have to write. You go to university, Bible college, you write some kind of a thesis, some kind of a essay, what. And so, someone sent it to me, and it was a couple of pages, quoting my book that we printed, the original sin, and he also quoted Brother Branham. And when he quoted it, he completely quoted our context. And he even put a question and asked, you see, these people we refer to us, how much, see how Celtic they really are. Because they said that Eve had sexual intercourse with the serpent, because the serpent was a tree of knowledge and good and evil. And then the Bible said that Eve gave of the fruit to Adam, and Adam was partook of the same fruit, so Adam had sex with the serpent. So now you come to that situation, you know, how strange that is. And you know, I wrote back to him, because there is an address, of course it was a Bible college, so I wrote to him and a carol to the lecturer of this person. Just sent it to the same place, and then I said, you have completely misquoted me and William Branham's out of context. If you really want to have a debate or discussion on this, please let me know, and we can clarify this. But do not please mispresent this kind of teaching, that we believe that Adam had sexual intercourse with the serpent. And in another place, of course, some will say that Eve had sexual intercourse with even Satan. Now, sometimes people don't look into the Bible. They just grab what the pastors teach us down, or wherever they have read in some books, which are very, very common. And that's why we have all over the internet today, people who are attacking Branham, Brother Branham, and attacking the teaching. Because why? The Branhamite has spread all the wrong interpretation. And it is so terrible. You know? But here we are, in this little fellowship here. God has raised us up back in the 70s until today. And you know, there are so many emails that I've received over all these years, even piles of letters, the slow mail before the electronic mail came in. I still keep those letters. And people start, I mean, they wrote all those appreciating how that the teaching of the original sin that we have opened their eyes to understanding of the serpent seed. What actually happened in the garden? You know. So, it is God who opened our eyes, that until we take the Bible as our sole absolute, our authority, we will never understand the truth. So, remember this, it is not, oh, my pastor teaches this, my denomination teaches that, oh, Brother Abraham taught that when they are even completely, well, misinterpreted. So, the only thing is, What saith the scripture? Do you understand what I'm saying? What saith the scripture? You may have a revelation. As I said this, if the revelation is not consistency, if not consistent with the scripture of God, then you're in big trouble. Okay, another point here before we go continue to another part. You remember 1977? And I believe that how many of you came into the message before 1977? John. And most of us here. Brother Kati too. Now, for those of you who did not come before 1977, I think that was one of the madness, you know, that was going on at that time. I came in the message in 71, and I hear people say, oh, the rapture is coming in 1977. I says, what? I read in the book of Brother Branham, Seventh Church Age, he says, I predict. I did not prophesy, I predict. And yet, what did these people say? The Brother Branham said, when he predicted, they came from America. They came from Europe and have convention here, and they said it. He said, they said that what, when Brother Branham said, I predict, means to say that prediction to a prophet is equal to prophecy. You know. So we have all sort of people from, sort of believers from the other first fellowship came over to our fellowship looking for girls. Because it was 74, 75, I was married in 74. Even a pastor from that side came and just wanted to see my wife. Because he was the first pastor in the end time message, just wanted to find out. Then he quickly get a wife too. What is this? Any madness? So just because you are the first pastor in Singapore in the end time message, you must be the first to get married before Brother can get married? What is going on? 74 came, 75 came, and I got others. Brother is trying to tell me this. 77 is coming. And I have one Korean brother, very tall Korean brother. When I was overseas, he came to my home in Margaret Drive. In the night when I was not, I was overseas. My wife heard the door, knocking at the door at night, and she opened the door. I saw this tall Korean man. They were looking for me. And of course, my wife told me, I'm not home, I'm overseas. So later on, you know, he corresponded with me, and he told me that 1977, Brother Gunn, is going to happen. It's going to be the rapture. And I wrote back to him, I said, brother, no doubt it was the year 1976, at the end of 1976. I said, brother, if today is 1977, December 31st. And the rapture has not happened at that time yet. And the afternoon comes. So what happened if it strikes midnight to the 1st of January 1978? What will happen? So Brother God, it will happen. It will happen even before midnight to the next new year, 78. I said, no brother, I will see 1978. You know, after he passed, he wrote me a letter in 1978, some few months later. He said, yeah, Brother Gunn, that's true. Because I told him, Brother Gunn, predict, don't make it a prophecy, and it's not going to happen. And then back in those days, in 1980, I think it was 81, when I was having Zoe, one over in the States. I think it was, 1980, because Zoe was just 1 year old. Over in Hong Kong, we were on the way to the States. And this brother whom we know, well, his name is Anthony Griffith Scott. Anyways, he had his own website. And we fellowship with him, and that was 1980. And he had already several months ahead in the year of 1980, and predicting that the rapture will be over by a certain date. I can't remember what date was that. Somewhere around June something, at the end of June or somewhere in the first week of July. And he was always in the newspaper cutting, telling people that, and trying to get people to be converted, to be Christian, and be prepared for the rapture. So I told him, I said, brother, that's not going to happen. I was with him in the office, sitting there with two of his believers. He only has two anyway. And he said, "No, Brother Gunn, it would happen." I said, "How did you arrive at this day?" You know. And he said, I studied Daniel, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. And God showed me all this pattern and date that was there. I said, "No, brother, no, you that what you read is all just, you make it up. You think that it's true, but it's not going to happen." He said, "No, brother, it will happen." I said, "What happened if it doesn't come to pass?" He said, "I will throw my Bible into the waste paper basket." And he pointed to the waste paper basket in the corner of his room. I said, "No, brother, you take it back. Because you know why? I will see you when I go to convention, and I will come back, the date will have passed, and we are still here." And he said, how come you're so sure, Brother God?" "I'm sure because the bride is in a mess. Look at around you," I told him. He said, look around you. It's a mess. God has to give time for those who are genuine bride to be prepared. Why did God put the children of Israel out in the wilderness for 40 years? Not only that those who are 20 and above will die out, but those who are younger will learn patience and know what God is doing. Coming under the leadership of Joshua when Moses passed away. You know, you see tongues and shadows in the Bible, but people don't want to learn that. Denomination is locked up in bondage, in darkness, because they have no light anymore. And those caught up in Branhamism are just living in darkness as well. You know, if Brother Branham is alive today, he will still blast it out to all those who make him wild, the absolute. You know, you hurt Brother Branham so much by people baptizing his name. And people believe it was Jesus and all that stuff. And they are still doing today. Soto San Diego is one of them. You believe he's the one who's going to bring the tenth vision of broadband to fulfillment. He built a big tent. There are those who believe the broadband is going to come back, resurrect from the dead. And there are still people worrying about Easter Day or something like that over in Brother Abraham's tomb down there in Jeffersonville. Believe he will resurrect. And then he's going to fly his plane. They take him around the world and have another quick revival. That's not going to happen. When the Bible God said it's true, if people don't want to listen to the word of God, God is going to send them a strong delusion that they will believe a lie. That's what the Catholic Church is. A disillusion will be upon them that believe that Mary was the mother of God and that she was more tender-hearted, more loving than Jesus Christ. You know how religion is to people? It's scary. You better treasure this Bible that you have. Because that is, this is the only light, this is the only map, the road map to eternal life. You know, the only food that you should have, that you should eat. Not a religious food, but a spiritual food. And this table is spread out before you in this end time. Huh? God spread out a table in the wilderness here in the world today when there's darkness. And the light is there with the food there for us to eat. And the Bible says, "Come whosoever will." The table is spread now. But people now, they're so much into all that. You know. So now, that's the reason why you see how people have the concept. Just take 1977, but you don't see in the scripture, you don't make any sense in the scripture, why it should be 77? 1980, why should it be 1980? Huh? People are not setting dates and dates and years. But we are looking at the scripture, we are expecting something to happen. We look at prophecy. Isn't it? I remember before 2000, the year 2000, 1999, December 31st, everybody was looking to see what happened to the computer. Remember what you call that? Y2K. Something's going to happen. The thing's not going to work. Americans believe that the grid and the whole electricity is going to fall out because there's all this stuff. I mean, how come? You know, somebody come out and preach that nonsense and they start to spread it, everybody gets scared. Remember that, who was the 666 in America? Reagan, what's his name? The president? Donald Reagan, something Reagan, his middle name also. All six letters. He is the Antichrist! You know? Wow! So now the denomination, even the teaching has shifted that the Antichrist is not the Pope. It is a political figure, they say. You know, they have so blinded to it that they forgot that the Pope in charge is a political figure. Political as well as religious. You know. Vicarious Fidel! But who imitates Christ? But he is not. He's on the other end. And take that title in the state of Christ. Amen. Any president ever take that? Some people even call Obama as the Antichrist. It never ends. There all kinds of presumption. Why is that in the scripture? You know. The third temple. I don't know, there's a lot of sensation now in the YouTube. The third temple. They say, well, you know, they're going to build a temple this year or next year. I can't remember now. Was it next year or this year? I think this year. They're going to build a temple, that temple now and everything. And then from there on, count down 7 years and the rapture will happen 7 years from this month, this coming month or next month. You know. So there are some calculating like this. And I say on Friday, and I share with you on Friday, you will never be able to prove that there is a rapture in the Bible. Do you know? Because the Bible don't teach you about rapture. Because rapture is a word that is so misused. And in fact, some denominations now are changing their mind to say, yeah, then even anti-message people. I saw one that was arguing, he says, I believe Brother Bram, but the rapture is a myth. What do you expect? Concerning the rapture. I can say the rapture is a myth. It's true because the way the denomination teaches it is a myth. It's not true. It's not going to happen the way they believe it. Neither is it the way it's going to happen the way that those in Branhamism believe it. Just because you believe the message, you say, I have a token. And what is the token? Or believe what Brother Bram said. Believe everything the Brother Bram said. You have the token. Believe every word that he said. Say amen to every word. No wonder some people are just putting on a tape of Brother Bram. Every statement Brother Bram said, amen, amen, amen. For what, 2 hours Brother Bram preached, they will say amen, amen until their throat is dry. They think that is what it is. I have people who wrote me and discussed with me that they believe that because Brother Bram said it. I said, yeah, no, I read what Brother Bram said it. The rupturing faith lies in the messages. Brother Bram said that. I know it. And they told me, that's why Brother Bram, I'm listening to the tape. I'm listening to the tape. Nothing but the tape. I said, you go through it every year, or look around. There are almost 2,000 tapes. So you listen one every day. That means it takes you almost 3 years or 4 years. Then after you finish, you recycle over again. You mean to say you keep your rapture in faith? Say yes, because it lies in the message. You know, Brother Ben used the word rapture in faith. We all use the word rapture in faith. It's a word that people just used. But what is it? What does it mean when we say that? What is the meaning of the word rapture in faith? What is faith after all? For you to be raptured. You know what? You know when I study the scripture, when God showed me something, I got raptured. But I came back down to earth again. You know what I'm saying, huh? I got raptured. Rapture is a word, means aesthetic feeling. Nice, wonderful feeling. You know. That's what I mean. How many of you have done bungee jump? Or how many of you have gone up in a parachute? free fall, or perhaps just to parasail. And then you're just above the ground, ooh, you know. Or what we call that fox, a zip line. The thrill of it, ooh, you know. It is very aesthetic feeling. Of course, you feel scared. How many of you have gone to a roller coaster to go up and down and corkscrew and all that thing? Wonderful. Wow, you know how you feel? That's that thing. You can, hey! That is just didn't mean the rapture. But it has to not misuse the word. So you know one thing, the rapture is a secret, Bible. I'm saying it's a secret. You cannot find it in the Bible. You cannot trace in the Bible. You only see types and shadows. You know what I'm talking about. It's types and shadows that is there, that is hidden. Huh? People say, show me the serpent seed. Do you know it's hidden here that people can't see it? You know what I'm talking about? Huh? Do you ever read the Bible that say that Eve, the serpent approached Eve and said, shall we have sex? Do you read that in the Bible like this? You don't. Did the Bible say, and then Eve have sex with the serpent? You don't read that. The Bible used the word fruit. Is that right? And so it's hidden there. So the rapture is a secret, the serpent seed is also a secret, a mystery hidden, but how do you see it? And you read the Bible like people like, you know, he walked with God and he was not, he was taken. Huh? And nobody know where he went. Elijah was taken to the chariot of fire. Nobody know where he went. I have a friend of mine said that Elijah was not raptured. He was on earth. God just took the rapture and put him away out of sight and dumped him somewhere else. Because later part in the book of 1 Kings somewhere, Elijah sent a message to the king. See, he was alive. You know. And what about Moses? The Bible says Moses died. So, what happened to Moses? What do we see the Bible show us? That Michael, the archangel, rebuilt the devil. He didn't rebuild, they said, the Lord rebuilt thee. Continue over the body of Moses. What is it telling us? Then we see the transfiguration. Who do we see? Elijah and Moses. Right? But brother, how come we didn't see? Well, how come there was no Enoch? Huh? Because Enoch's ministry was not even made known. It was a pre-flood prophet. That's all. Elijah came as grace to the children of Israel, as Moses was law to Israel. And God wanted to show us, because Israel was his chosen people, and you and I, we were God's chosen people in Christ Jesus. So all this was shadows and types. And you can't understand it if you are in tradition. God has given us a table filled with all kinds of delicious spiritual food. So let us approach the Word of God and understand it. Alright, the next point, let's go to the book of Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And here we have, the fivefold ministry. And verse 11 to 16 tell us very clearly. And he gives some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. Well, it doesn't say some teachers, it just says some pastor and teachers. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wing of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. from whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So the body loves itself. So now, let me say this. You know, there are still a lot of what I don't know. Call it dummy or dumb, or just because their head is filled with all kinds of ideas, that they believe that William Marion Branham's message and ministry will perfect the bride. So they continue to listen to Brother Branham's tape. They believe that his ministry will perfect the bride. Now, you know why Brother Branham is gone? He has passed over to be with the Lord over the other side. How is he going to perfect you? Because the ministry of God is a living ministry. God is God of the living. And as far as the physical living churches on earth, as far as God is concerned, the ministry must be a living ministry. You hear what I'm saying? Do you know the scripture? The scripture here, we call it the Word of God, right? We call it the Word of God. Now, there are ways that we can say about this book. We call it the Living Word, right? We can also call it the Dead Word. Do you believe that? People can read this Bible, which was written by the Spirit of God, and they can read it as a dead letter. You understand what I'm saying? The letter killer, because why? The letter of the Word doesn't give you life. It is the Spirit that gives life. That's what people don't seem to understand. It's a double-edged sword. You know what I mean by a double-edged sword? It cut to take it in one part that is chosen. It cut to remove a part that is not to be chosen. And as Jesus Christ said, I didn't come bring peace, I bring a sword into the home, separating father from the son from the father or mother and daughters. It's true. When the gospel comes into the family, it divides the family. That's why you know that to be true, isn't it? Huh? Parents who are not Christian have children. Son in one day of Charles, a son came home and told the father, Dad, I believe in Jesus. What the hell are you talking about? We are not Christian people. We are Buddhists. We are this. We are Hindu. You know, it divides the family. So what are we believing in? Or do we look, how do we look at this Bible? That's why it's so important that you know how to look into this Bible. The Pharisees and the scribes, oh, they think that they know. We have Abraham, we have the prophets. And Jesus Christ turned out actually the truth, greater than Solomon is here. And you know what? You quote the prophet, you quote Moses, they all did. It's a living ministry. One who's greater than Solomon is standing in your midst. Can you see him?
No.
If you know the prophet, you will know who I am. You see, the thing is, the study, the scribe, they are reading their scroll, they are reading the prophet with blind eyes. They are dead to the truth. Why? Because of tradition. That's what Jesus said, you make the word of God no effect by your tradition, by the tradition of the elders. Do you know what that is? Tradition is darkness. That's why God is light. In him is no darkness. Darkness brings about death. You cannot see the light, you have no way to go, you don't know where to go. in a room that is complete darkness. You don't know where the door is, the window is. You don't even know where the table of food is. In God there is no darkness. God is light. Darkness is tradition. Tradition brings darkness, and that's what it is. Oh, brothers, sisters, you know, this word of God is what give us life, give us the hope, the blessed hope that we are looking for. Outside of this, there's nothing. So when you said about Brother Abraham is the one who's not in ministry, perfect the brand, that is not true. God has a living ministry. But Brother God, the angel told Brother Abraham to put a message on recording on magnetic tape. Yes, I know. Why? Simple enough. So that when you tell people that Brother Abraham said this, Brother Abraham said that, you got to show them where in the scripture it is said. Because if you say, Brother Abraham said this, Brother Abraham said that, and you cannot prove what it is from the scripture by your revelation, I mean, you are saying that we don't need the scripture. That's why some of the people out there in Africa and some other parts of the world, you know what they believe in? They don't believe the scripture practically at all now. Is that because we have the spoken word? We're referring to the spoken word book. And the spoken word is the original seed. The Bible is written word. And as Paul said, the word killeth. That's how you quote the Bible. Brother and sister, it's scammy. It's really scammy. Oh my. How blind people can be, you know, I don't understand. The simplicity of God's word. There's some people, brother, and preach one message. God is simplicity. Then what is simplicity? Back to the word, that's what it is all about. Say what I say, but don't say it just because what I say and you don't understand. You know, that's the reason why then, you know, when I, in the early days when I read what Brother Abraham preached in his spoken word book, I actually pondered and I just get a little bit amused because I understood what he was actually saying. Say what I say. Say what I can say. And I'm used because I know that many people are going to get lost in that. Because I see the scripture, Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have eternal life. Destroy this temple and treat it and raise it up. And people never understand. The disciple will walk with him. All those years, they don't even understand. They only understood when the Holy Spirit came upon them. Do you know that, don't you? No wonder Brother Abraham said, how can you ever understand? How can you ever understand the Bible without the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And people think that because they believe the message, they believe Brother Abraham, they are the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's wrong. Mind you that. Because I always taught this, the true evidence of the Holy Spirit, baptism. What does the Holy Spirit do? He witnesses with you and he takes you to the Bible. And if you refuse to go to the Bible and say, "Ah, this is what Brother Abraham said," you are in trouble. I tell you that. Even the prophet himself said, "You hold out the Bible, this is my absolute," he said. What else do you want? More people know. And here we have what Paul said. Paul clearly tells us that it is the fivefold ministry that will perfect the blind. Is that true? So where are those fivefold ministries today? Everybody around the world who had in that message, their churches everywhere, and you have one pastor that stands up and says, "I'm a pastor." Well, how about can you make him a pastor? Because he was the first to receive the message in his little village or in his town, and so therefore he spread it and you have 10 people coming together, he made himself a pastor. That's what happened to the first church. Because there was a prophecy, I was told, I heard it. I said, that was not prophecy. They made him the ordained pastor, the first pastor. That prophecy was just to say that he was supposed to spread the message. That's it. And after a few years later on, I see what was going on. I told you, church, back then in the 70s, watch that church, it's going to break up. Huh? You see, there's a spirit that's working in our life, and that's God. But there are spirits that are working also in the churches among people. And that's what the Bible said about the carnal mind. Carnal mind is death. To be carnally minded is death. So what do you, how do you exercise your mind? So we ought to be spiritual minded. Now let us look into this Ephesians here now. Let's look at it carefully. Look at the purpose right here. First of all, in verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, that's to bring them to complete maturity. For the work of the ministry, that's two. For the edifying of the body of Christ, the threefold purpose of the fivefold ministry. Perfect the bride, work of the ministry, the edifying the body of self, of Christ. Until we all come, one, to the unity of the faith. Two, of the knowledge of the Son of God. Three, unto a complete man, perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. And that is how important. If we don't have this fivefold ministry, then we are being tossed to and fro. This way, that way, this view, that view, and that so on and so forth. Where are we going to go? That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. And no wonder Paul spoke to the church in Corinth. Many of you are still drinking milk. When you have been so many years of the prayer, you're still drinking milk. How can you grow when you're drinking milk? And as children, of course, you're being tossed and fro because your mind is not matured. So we should come to this ministry and be learning, okay? And carry about with every wing of doctrine. Yeah, of course, this doctrine came here, and then another doctrine come by this way. So we are just moving the wing. By the sleight of man and cunning craftiness whereby they lie wait to deceive. And that's why it happened back in the late 80s, I think. A man came and preached here in Singapore. He wrote a book called The Mystery of Iniquity. The Mystery of Iniquity. It's a little booklet. And you know what? That's what happened to my fellowship back then. In the early 80s. Then I just split. I think Brother Paul was with us. Why? The man came out with a book and was preaching to us about, sharing with us. And then one of the brothers just believed in the fourfold ministry. Fourfold ministry. When the Bible tells us five. Wow. How did he prove that? He went over to the book, same chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 11. It says, some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastor and teacher. Not some pastor and some teachers, he said. So he said, pastor and teacher is only one fold. So there are only four fold. And he said he wrote the book. He told me later on, he told me that the books, he gave the book out to some denomination and even institution. And he said that the Methodist Bible College told him, wrote to him and said, what you wrote is 100% correct. He told me, Brother God, Methodist, the theological church said, I'm 100% correct. So he did an endorsement from the Methodist church. You know how he used the word? He said, the word here is some pastor Kai, K-A-I in the Greek word, Kai means end, A-N-D. So, pastor and teacher is only one fold, so there are four fold. So anybody, any church that have a pastor is in the mystery of iniquity. had the spirit of Nicolaitan. So the pastor is controlling the church. Really? You see, and I asked him later on, I said, have you read where in the Bible it says the Pharisee and the scribe? The Pharisee Kai, scribe, Pharisee and the Sadducees. The same word and A-N-D, Kai, K-I. Are they one or are they two? Are the Pharisees and Sadducees the same person? Or are they separate groups? Smart! You know, there are people who try to be apostles and they are not. They try to teach doctrine but they know nothing. Every of these five ministries is a gift. As one of them said, if you are a pastor, you cannot put your feet into the shoe of a prophet. Is that true? Now that an evangelist put his feet in the shoe of a pastor, you have a ministry to do, you do that which is yours. But no. Everybody wants to be somebody. And nobody wants to be, no. I mean, and, well, I don't know how the song goes. It's kind of funny, you know. Everybody wants to be somebody. But nobody wants to be nobody. Whatever. You know. I don't know. And that's why we have all this problem today. All kinds of things are being said. Sometimes, you know, I find myself fighting on the uphill, going uphill, finding all this anti-word, pro-Branham, anti-Branham people, because of what pro-Branham is misinterpret Brother Branham's teaching. But I do all I can. Present the truth to the world. Present the truth to those that will listen. And you know what? It takes so many years. You know, I've been in Africa since the 90s. Oftentimes, and even those who associate with me turn around and attack me, and after some few years, they turn around and then realize that they are in the wrong. Because if truth is there, if truth is consistent, it will not change. Huh? And there are many of them who never realized. Because why? He had been spreading. You know what, Brother Nice told me this. He told me a few different ones that talked to him. Especially those in the French country. Like Rwanda, Congo, even Nigeria or Ghana. He said, you know what, Brother Nice, this happens often. Here, this guy, when he received one of your books that I gave him, and he read it and he came back. Very nice. I didn't know that this man writes book. I thought the only person in the Anglican message that writes book is Ward Frank. And nobody knows because people are all in the dark because they scare people away. Huh. And even there are so many things that people write. That is why before I put any books, before I preach anything, I have to make sure that what I said makes sense to the people in this Bible. Because there are so many books published out there in Germany, in other countries, spreading out. What all that stuff that are not true? Polygamy is one of them. True soul is another. And many more. Who is responsible for all this? We all have a common enemy. Satan. Yeah, I know it's Satan. But who allows themselves to be used by Satan? Huh? And what about the sheep? No wonder the sheep is this. The Bible, you know, God calls believer sheep. He used the dumbest of animals, actually. You know, the sheep are dumb. Need to be led by the shepherd. True, isn't it? But we need to be also on beyond our alert. Alright, and he says here now, in verse 50, but speaking the truth in love, heart. When you tell the truth, people get offended. And Jesus says, I become your enemy because I tell you the truth. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into Christ in all things, which is the head, and from whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted, and that's what we should be. And joined together according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, every one of us, every part, every stone in the building, it plays its part, cemented and glued to the next stones beside, left and right, bottom and top, to hold the whole building together strong. And that's how we all should be going into that. Not one go this way, one go that way. Alright, making it and the measure of every part, making itself, and making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love, means the whole body edifying its own, means every one of us, even as Paul in Ephesians 5 said, you know, singing spiritual song unto your own self. It means unto the whole body. We all singing together. Okay? Now let's go to another verse now in 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings 18. Here is Elijah praying for rain. Well, we can read from verse 41 anyway. 1 Kings 18. 41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat, drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up and eat and drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knee, and he said to his servant, go up now but and look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. And he came to him in at the 7th time, that he said, behold, there arise a little crop out of the sea like a man's feet. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. So now I want to give you the example is, numbers can play a part. Yes, 7 times. But you know, when Elijah prayed for rain, what is the representation of rain? Well, we always say showers a blessing. Okay, the Bible talks about the word of God is like water, like rain. You know, what did this servant see when he went to the seaside to look? He saw a feast. Huh? A crowd like a feast coming out. Okay? And that's what we see now is that it's the fivefold ministry attack here. That rise up. At the 7th time, when he was told to go and look at it. Do you know one thing? The fivefold ministry never was ever able to perfect the bride in the first time. First church, second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth. You never. Only in the 7th. Why? Because how can the saints of God be perfected if they don't come back to the Word? How can there be a fivefold ministry in a denomination when they are in the system, when they are in the tradition? You understand what I'm saying? So that's the why until the fire, until the message comes and call us to go back to the Word, the fivefold ministry can never really work. Do you see? The same thing, Moses. Well, no, because what he did in disobedience, striking the rock twice, and God said, no, you cannot enter it. So Moses would have passed away also. And then God had to raise up a Joshua to take the children of Israel into the promised land. Do you see what I'm talking about? One phase must go off before another takes place. And Brother Bram was around. The fivefold ministry never could perfect the bride yet. No way. So Brahman must go. But people are thinking, you know, do you know even Jesus said, you know, I need to go. If I don't go, the Holy Spirit cannot come. Huh? Because there's a greater work to do. So the same thing, but people, when Brahman was alive, everybody was looking at him, but they were thinking about 1977, because Brahman said about 1977. So they were all looking for him and so on, and were still holding on to him, holding on to him. How can God ever perfect the bride when you are looking at the servant instead of looking at him? Do you realize the important thing? They're different. God will send servants to give you the word, give you the truth. Huh? Because the servant, they are pointers, that's all. That's why Elijah told his servant, go and check and find out what happened. And the servant is supposed to do what he's supposed to do, and then he come back to Elijah. That's so at the sermon is the feast, the fivefold ministry, that's able to bring the rain, the early rain, and then comes forth the latter rain after it is gone. And as long as we are here, we have not yet received the latter rain. Until the early rain is complete its work, then the latter rain will come. So, if you are not mature there, you cannot mellow them. Right? You remember, huh? The husbandman, the field is ripe to harvest, the golden grains are out there. It needs a little bush to get matured into real, nice, tasty wheat or corn. So, the latter rain must come. You see. Okay? We go to 1 Corinthians 13. And verse 9 to 12. Paul said here, we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Prophesy here also means to preach in part. And when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I speak as a child, I understood as a child, I taught as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. So now, what is Paul talking about here? As long as there is a ministry, before the prophet is come, we can only know in part. I, Paul, know in part. Peter, know in part. James, know in part. Every one of us only could preach in part. Right? We don't know everything. But we learn. I preach in part, somebody preach in part, somebody try in part. We learn from each other. So we grow a little bit more, a little bit more. But all these are parts. But when the teleos is come, when the perfect is come, what is the perfect? Oh, my! The denomination said, it's the Bible. The complete Bible is here now. We don't need the prophet. It's over. The era is over. Their time is over now. There's no more apostle, there's no more prophet, only evangelist, pastor, and teacher, only three. Do you ever heard that? Yes. Presbyterian Church, Methodist Church, so many of them, they don't believe in the apostles, prophet anymore. They don't exist today. Because the perfect is come. The perfect means the complete book. Is that what the Bible means? The word tell you means what? The perfect means the one that is perfect, the one who is all-knowing. The one who knows everything. Oh, but in the end time message. Oh, the prophet is come, the message. You heard of it? I heard it. Several times. But this one there, one wise man here, one smart aleck here. Everybody have that kind of idea. Everybody have opinion. Huh? You know, opinion is okay. It's one thing for you to have opinion, but don't take your opinion and override the Word of God. Last Friday we discussed about suicide thing. When in the Bible did Jesus say that thou shalt not commit suicide? If a married man commits suicide, he goes to hell. Where did it come from? It came from what? One of the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt not kill? That's what the numbers will tell you. You know that, don't you? And the Bible also says the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not steal. Can you steal from yourself? Thou shalt not kill. Can you kill yourself? You say, yeah, I can kill myself. Okay, good. Thou shalt not steal. Can you steal from yourself? Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor, thy wife. Thou shalt not fornicate. Can you fornicate with your wife? Are you when you do things, fornicate, steal, kill, you're doing it to somebody else, not to yourself. So they are thinking that because thou shalt not kill. Yeah, I can kill myself. So what do you prove in the scripture about suicide? You have to look in the right place. When it is found, nobody knows. But it's there in the Bible we discussed on Friday. So you see, people just take this and take that. And what did Brother Branham say when he was one time, he was asked a question, if I remember correctly. They are asking about Saul. And even today, Christians are asking, Saul go to heaven or go to hell? What did Brother Abraham say about Saul? People think that Saul went to hell. That's because he, well, commit suicide. Somebody said, no, no, he didn't commit suicide. He asked somebody else to kill him. You know what? You know that, don't you? And this is very common. A lot of people, many times, even soldiers in the battlefield, they are mortally wounded. They can either, they know that or their men are retreating because the enemy is advancing. So he's mortally wounded. He could not live to see another day or two. So he would be captured, he'd be interrogated, and be, you know how they would do to him. They would torture him even worse. And he's suffering now. So he would say to God, well, please put his head to shoot himself. But someone said, no, I shall not kill myself because thou shalt not kill, I cannot kill myself. Oh, please, comrade, ask one of his men to kill him. So that he would not kill him. Pull the trigger so he would not have to go to hell. Because somebody else is killing him, not killing him. He would kill himself. So all that ideas propagated by what? By religion. Oh, but brother, are you endorsing that we can commit suicide? That's why people will have all these kind of ideas. Just because I said something like that. I want to make you think. When you want to say that if one person commits suicide, he goes to hell, you better make sure you have a scripture for that. Huh? What did I teach you on Friday? Last Friday. What did the scripture say over in the book of Genesis chapter 9? Well, we read, and surely your lifeblood would I require. What is that verse supposed to be? Well, just look at it anyway. Genesis chapter 9. Verse 5. And surely your blood of your life will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require. And at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whosoever shed a man's blood, by man's blood shall his by men shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. So what is 5 and 6 trying to tell us? Huh? What is trying to tell us? I have people coming. Oh, you know, well, all these theologians, they've got all kinds of people. They do their best to study. But those are the days gone by 100 years ago, 50 years ago. But brother and sister, we are no longer living in those years because the word of God is progressive. What happened in the days of Luther is different from the day that we have here. We have more light than the days of Luther. Is that understood? Is it not true? Is it not true that we are more alike today? Because in the rock formation under Luther, he's just got restoring one doctrine at a time, to bring it all the way up. And if Pentecost came, they went back again into a system. Until God sent a prophet and said, get out now, every one of you. Come back to the Word. And you want right? Come back to the Word. Throw away all your theology. Throw away all your traditions. And God will show the truth. But you know what they say? And surely the blood of your life will not require. That's how people interpret that also. They take that word and they take the commandment, thou shalt not kill. And so he says, see that God require, God want to take your life. If you kill yourself, God will kill you too. How did God kill me when I'm already killed? You know what I'm saying? If I jump down from a high building and die, commit suicide, I murder myself, as they would say. God said, oh, they said, God is going to kill you. God is going to, how is God going to kill you? He said, they have stretched words, but keeping within context, because you know what, they jumped to verse 6. Whosoever shed man's blood? By man's blood, they said, see, this is all about killing. Oh yeah, I know, it's about killing. But the Bible here says, surely the blood of your life, what I require, means that you have to give account of your life. If a beast killed a man, the animal will have to give an account. Not animal directly, the owner of the animals. If a man killed a man, that man will have to give account for the man's death. Why was he killed? Why did he kill him? That's what the Bible is trying to tell us. So, if you want to commit suicide, what God is trying to tell us here, if you look into the verse above, every moving thing, verse 3, every moving thing that lives shall be meat for you, shall be food for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, you shall not eat, and surely your life blood. You see that? It's all have to do with the blood. Because God is trying to make the people understand about life is sacred. You don't take somebody else's life. Animal cannot kill a man. And you cannot go just kill yourself. It's talking about the value and the sanctity of life. It's not about suicide. You understand? How you deal with your life. How precious is your life to you. You have to give an account to God. You understand what I'm talking about? Here in today's world, how do we live? How do we live? If my lung is collapsed, I can't breathe, so they put me in the air machine, the lung machine. So the lung machine sucks, you know what I mean? So that I could expand my lung and so that I could breathe. So I could live, I would be in the lung machine with the head sticking out and the rest of my body in the machine. I will be lying there for years and years and years. Am I living or am I dead? At least if I'm a zombie, I'm a walking dead, but I'm a lying dead. You know what I'm saying? Nothing. I could not move nothing. But if there is no lung machine, what happened to me then? I would have died, isn't it? You get it, that? I would have died. In those days, when a person collapsed heart attack, he just go. Today, you know what I mean? Oh, they're trying to suck him to make him alive and bring him back. Yeah, because why medicine supposed to give, trying to save life? I understand that. So, when a person commits suicide, don't judge the person. He has to give an account to God when he stands before God. And God knows how to judge that case. But don't say because you commit suicide you go to hell. Where on earth did that come from? Or you go to purgatory. Where did that come from? And of course you don't go and kill somebody. And the Bible said if you kill somebody, you pay for it. A life for a life, is that right? A life for a life. Even if an animal, the Bible here said, God said, I'll require that animal. How is that animal? Whose animal is that? Do you know that in Singapore, in many countries, if an animal is a dog, an owner who has a dog, like a Rottweiler, huh? Kill a child. That Rottweiler is put to death. The Bible requires it. Is it not right? The owner has to pay for it. And what else did the Bible say? You know what? I have all these friends of mine telling me too. You know, we talk about, there were times when we discussed, and I was talking recently to, well, a couple of years ago, some of these ministers here about death penalty for someone who murdered. They said, Paragon, do you know what Birmingham said? Of course, I said, but I do not know. I said, what Birmingham said? Brown said, I don't believe in capital punishment. I said, so? That means that the murderer who killed somebody else could not be put to death. Who are we to take human life? We are human. Who are we to put another man to death? You see how he justified himself, excused himself for that? That being religious spirit? What did the Bible tell you? Brown said, I do not believe in capital punishment. That's okay. He has his opinion. He doesn't believe in it. He prefers, I guess, to put a person in jail for a long, long time. But the other one comes around and says, well, who are we, Bergen? We are human. Who are we to put another person to death? Do you know the Bible where it says? Did you just read the Bible verse? In verse 6? What did verse 6 say? Whosoever shed man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. When Cain committed murder against his brother Abel, God could have put him to death, right? Why didn't God do that? Why? Because there was no law. As the Bible says, if there is no law, you cannot be judged by the law. There is no law. Huh? But what did God do? What did God do to Cain? There must be a justice in meeting out the law. That's why a country, I mean, we're talking about this law of God. Every country practically practices it. When you kill somebody, you have died. You pay for it. That's true, isn't it? Huh? So, you just think about it. There was no law at that time. Cain killed him, so what did God do? He had to meet out justice. And this verse, God was working towards this verse. Say, Cain, because you have killed Abel, and you buried him, and his blood is crying out from the earth, I will now curse this earth. And so no more you will do its strength. The moment that Cain heard that, he knew what's going to happen. Man is going to chase after him. Man is going after him and kill him. Is that right? So every man that sees me, find me, will kill me. That's right. He will be killed by the hand of man. But God gave him grace. He said, not so. I give you a fair fight. And he put a mark on Cain, who later became a giant. So God has stripped from the authority of judgment in his hand. He now has passed that judgment into the hands of men. To the head of tribes, to the magistrate, to the chief of a village or whatever. The Bible teaches us all these things is right there. And yet we have smart alecky people in the time measure what the mess they have done to the word of God. And to even what Barabbas never taught. It's just his opinion. Barabbas is entitled to his opinion. And I would disagree with him. And don't come and tell me over you on the table who are listening and say, oh, Barabbas is disagreeing with the prophet. You think he's smarter than the prophet? Are you trying to tell me that the Bible, the Barabbas is smarter than the Bible? Come on! It's time that we wake up! Speak the truth! Are you afraid of the truth? Or do you have to hide behind the tailcoat of your pastor, or Brother Brown, or the prophet, or some big preacher? Christ, He is the prophet of prophets, the Lord of lords, the apostle of apostles. He's the Spirit that leads us and guides us into our truth. And the truth, where is it? It's in the scripture. It's in the word. Thy word, O Lord, is truth. You know. So let us be serious about this word. Revelation. Even as I said, without the revelation of God, we are just having our own opinion. And we're just adding to what we call Babel, Babylon. And that's what it is all about. Mystery Babylon. It's so mysterious. We know what it is. But a lot of people, even at that message, they even know. They're caught, they are themselves caught into that Babylon spirit. Oh my. You know, Enoch is the only one that never see death. And got up into, was translated by God. Noah, because of God found, you know, he found grace in God's eye. Not his wife, not his son, not their wives, but for Noah. For Noah's sake, he took all these others. I put them in the ark. And they have them over to the new world. So which one do you want to be? Part of those in your ark, riding over the tribulation? Or you want to be the Enoch? Walk with God, know God, know God's revelation. That's what Enoch knew. And he will prophesy. God is going to take judgment upon this world, send thousands of his angels and saints. Is that not true? So do we know where we are going? Where we are going? I pray you do. Amen? I just close today and we continue next week. Heavenly Father, blessed be thy holy name, Lord, and we thank you for your word. Help us to understand and not to be still, Lord, having the back of our my traditional doctrines or even some quotes of your prophet, Brother Branham, not knowing what he said. We know even many in the days of Christ, they can quote Christ, but do they even know what he was saying, Lord? And even the disciple, or what joy must be for them when they receive the Holy Spirit. And when thy Spirit lead them into what Christ have taught them, that their eyes will open to the truth, how they rejoice it must be, Lord. So we pray, Father, that we too will be led by your Spirit into all truth, and that your Spirit will show us things to come. We ask for your grace, O Lord, in our life, that our spirit always, Father, be in tune with your Spirit. I pray that to be so in every one of our life, O Lord, in this fellowship. Bless all our Father, bless those who are not here again today, and touch everyone that are bodily weakened, that you strengthen them, Father. And for those who are not here, because they're at the post of duty, be with them as well and bless them. We thank for today. We bless you, Father, and glorify thy name, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord bless you.